You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
We're launching into a new series today on the book of Job. Who's read the book of Job before? A few of us? That's good. Well, the book of Job is a book that explores profound questions that humans regularly wrestle with, doesn't it? Questions around suffering, questions around faith, and the very nature of God. Maybe something like this: how can God possibly be good when this world is filled with such suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things so often happen to the worst of people? Why do so many people prosper at the expense of the poor or vulnerable? If God is good and cares for his children, why does he allow them to suffer? All profound questions that no doubt all of us at different stages over the journey have considered and likely still wrestle with from time to time. And this is why the book of Job is a book worth exploring. As my ESV study Bible says, the book of Job concerns itself with the question of faith in a sovereign God. Can God be trusted? Is he good and just in his rule of the world? So that's what we're going to explore in our series over the next 3 or so weeks. So let's pray and invite God to guide us as we explore these big, weighty questions. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that your word wrestles with all the things of life. You know, even in some of the songs we were singing this morning, hitting on the mountaintops, but also those places where we're just washed out or we don't know where to go or who to turn to. We're in our darkest valley. Lord, we praise you for your word, and we thank you for the gift of the book of Job, that this book right there in the Old Testament is such a gift to us, and the themes that it explores, the way that it reminds us about issues of suffering, issues of who God is, and all of those sort of things. So God, we pray that as we dig into it together, as we open your word to discover what it is that is true, we pray, God, that you would bring it personally to our own lives, God. Because there's one thing is true in this world: there's a lot of suffering that goes on, and we can all face it from time to time. So, Lord, would you apply this firmly to each of our lives so that we might be set and sure in faith and trust in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll be pleased to know we're not going to read through Job together right now. The book is 42 lengthy chapters after all. We're going to jump just into the first chapter in just a moment to get a bit of an introduction to the main character of the book, who, of course, is Job. So, very quick background. No one knows for sure who wrote Job, but whoever did, it's clearly knew the Lord and was familiar with biblical writings. There's a lot of biblical references and themes in Job that you can find throughout other Old Testament writings. And scholars believe that the book was written in the time of the patriarchs, in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we'll dig into that in our connect groups in greater detail in the weeks ahead. But let's just start by reading Job 1:1-5. And meeting the man of the moment. He says this: there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. So what do we glean from this introduction to Job? Job is a blameless and upright man. He fears God and he turns away from evil. Job is, I guess, what you could call a good man, as Ray would say. You're a good man. In the full sense of the word, though, yeah? This description of Job is backed up by God himself. We read on that God describes Job in a curious back and forth conversation he has with Satan of all people. And this is how God describes Job in Job 1-8. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" So pretty safe to say, if God says that about Job, he probably is true for Job. He's a good man, blameless, upright, a man who fears God and turns away from evil. Now, if you read on in Job, you'll see that Satan takes issue with God's glowing report of Job. And I'm paraphrasing. This is what Satan says. He says, "Come on, God. He's blameless only because he's got it easy. Like, you look after him. You've blessed every single thing he's ever done. He lacks no good thing. Job only praises you because he's got it made. You can be sure that if you were to take everything away from him, then he'll stop praising you. Then he'll start cursing you instead." And the writer of Job records God's response in Job 1:12. He says, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And then in the next verses, I encourage you, read through Job this week. In the next verses, we see Satan going out and testing Job. The first test, he takes all of Job's property, all of his earthly goods, earthly wealth and possessions. And not only that, he also goes and kills all his children. All that he treasured, all that he held close, taken just like that. It's pretty full on, isn't it? And how does Job respond when he hears the news of these tragedies? Well, here's how in Job 1:20-22. "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Now that is an incredible response, isn't it? And then at the start of the chapter 2, we see a familiar conversation again take place. God, again, proudly reminds Satan of Job's faithfulness despite his immense suffering. In Job 2, verse 3, God says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason.'" And Satan's getting a bit upset now. He's a bit more heated this time round. He says in verses 4-5, "Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. All that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. God again. God again allows Job to be tested by Satan and again says that Satan can do anything but take Job's life. So what does Satan do? He strikes Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Can't imagine the level of suffering that Job would have felt. And he wouldn't have had any relief, any movement he'd made. He would have just been in immense pain. And this was enough for Job's wife. She'd had enough. She'd seen enough. She'd experienced enough. She just said to Job in verse 9, she said, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." And what was Job's response to his wife? Verse 10, he says, "But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." In both instances, in both responses to his suffering, in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, we read that Job did not sin. He didn't charge God with any wrong. Now, we're going to pause there for today in Job's story. No doubt you got plenty of questions already. I'm sure you got plenty of questions whirling around in your mind. Anyone want to shout out a question that you have, even from what we've looked at so far? Come on, don't be shy. Yeah, good. Yeah, why didn't God tell Satan to get lost? Yeah, why is God having a conversation with Satan when Satan's been cast out of heaven? How much faith God has in his human. Mm-hmm. Yep. Why did Satan not take his wife? It's good. Yep. Yeah, why did God allow Satan to test Job? Even then thinking practically, does God do this, allow suffering testing from Satan for us? Why did God let Job of all people to face terrible suffering like he did? They're all great questions, and we could come up with heaps more, and you no doubt will as you read Job yourself in the next week. So write them down, and then we can wrestle with them together in our connect groups. But for today, what I want to highlight is a really important theological point that the writer of Job makes. And this is so important for us to get. So just hear this morning. You ready? Here it is. We're not guaranteed a life free of suffering just because we follow Jesus. We're not guaranteed a life free of suffering just because we follow Jesus. We're just not. Think about it. If Job, a good man in the full sense of the word, like he was blameless. God described him as being like the man of the East. He's like, this man, he's good. If Job, a good man, suffered, you can be sure that you and I are going to suffer some degree in our lives too. As Johan Pereira, pastor from the US, said, He says, the life of Job is proof God's people do suffer. Bad things happen all the time to good people. Now, I'd go further with this thought. Bad things happen all the time to good and bad people. Yeah? As Jesus says in Matthew 5:45, in his sovereign goodness and kindness to the people he created, all the people that he's created in his own image, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God bestows goodness on all, irrespective of whether they love him or not. And the opposite is true as well. God allows evil and good people to face suffering in this life. Don't think for even a moment, as Job's friends suggest in the coming chapters, spoiler alert, that all suffering comes about or can be explained by some personal fault, some issue of yours, something that you've done. Not at all. Suffering comes about, exists, because we live in a broken, fallen world. And part of living in a sinful, fallen world, it's pretty obvious, but this world is not as God intended it to be. And therefore, we are going to face challenges and things that were never meant to be that way. This side of eternity, we will naturally face challenges and hardships, and we will suffer because we're not yet living in the new heavens and the new earth, free of sin and pain. No matter what, we can be sure we live in this earth, we will suffer from time to time. But here's the thing in all of this. God allows us to face suffering, and God actually uses our suffering to shape and grow us, to cause us to cling to him all the more tightly, to trust and praise him no matter what. You see, friends, while suffering is a given, how we respond to suffering is not a given, is it? Suffering's a given. You exist in this world, you're going to suffer at some point. If you haven't yet, maybe tomorrow. But what is not a given is our response to the suffering. Because like Job, we have a choice as to how we respond when we face suffering. I mean, man, Job, you only need to look at his story and you'd agree that he had every reason to listen to his wife and take her advice and just say, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to curse you, God. I'm going to give up my faith. I'm just going to die. Like, this is gone downhill. This is something else. I'm done. But he didn't. He chose faith. He maintained trust in the Lord, even in the face of the deepest suffering and despair he had ever experienced. And this is a choice that really all of us need to make often in our lives. Our suffering might come in the form of a cancer diagnosis, a marriage breakdown, divorce, a seemingly irreparable, hostile relationship with our own child, a toxic work environment, dealing with ongoing, incredibly painful chronic health conditions. The list, you know, could go on and on and on. You get what I'm saying? We, all of us, face suffering in life, but all of us have a choice as to how we respond to the suffering that we face in life. As Job demonstrated over and over again, when we face troubles and sufferings of many kinds, we can choose to trust God. We can actually choose to bless God. I wonder if the music team, no, you can't? Okay. All right. You know, if you even think about the lyrics of that song, Bless God, you know, what's it talking about? It's talking about all the different moments of life, from the darkest valley, every chance I get is a chance to praise your name. You know, this in many ways is illustrating what Job has modeled for us, that we can, not in our own strength, not in anything that we can possibly do ourselves, but only in through the power of the Spirit at work in us, we can walk in the way of Job and choose to respond to our suffering as well and continue to bless God, choose to praise God, choose to look to Him and give Him honor and glory no matter what. I wonder, maybe we'll just have a time of prayer ministry to close. Maybe for you, there's just, you know, maybe even as we've been talking about sufferings, you're like, yeah, I know what I'm suffering with. I know what I'm dealing with. Maybe this is just an opportunity for you just this morning to choose your response. Maybe you're a bit like me and you can suffer with different things and get a bit grumpy and not have necessarily the heart of God in it and be a bit, why do I have to deal with this? Maybe that's your thing. Maybe there's an opportunity this morning to say, you know what? God, help me to respond with faith in my suffering. Help me to choose to praise you even while I'm facing this thing. Whatever it is, let's just take a moment to pray and then we'll wrap up together. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Job. We thank you, God, for that simple reminder that we don't get to choose in this life if we're going to face sufferings. We know we're going to face sufferings. But God, we do get a choice in how we respond as we suffer. So God, right now, we just want to say that we want to respond with faith in you. We want to respond with hearts that say, every chance I get, I'll praise your name. God, we want to respond as Job did, with that heart of just still blessing you no matter what. And so God, Lord, we invite you to move in our own hearts, each of our hearts, God. Where it's a physical suffering, God, we pray that you would come and minister to us and that you would remind us of the ways that you have shown yourself to be faithful to us even as we have suffered. If our suffering is in the form of a relational suffering, a tense relationship, a problematic relationship with a colleague in a workplace or with a child or a parent, God. We invite you to move in power. We invite you to speak into that suffering and to cause us to praise you and worship you even in that moment. Lord God, we thank you that just because we're followers of yours, we're not free of suffering. And if we think about it, God, we know so many people, sadly Christian ministers even, of the so-called gospel will say that if you're a Christian, you shouldn't suffer. It's obviously rubbish. But God, we're just reminded that we are followers of the suffering servant. That Jesus, you suffered, you endured pain, brokenness, the worst that this life has to offer. So why should we be exempt from some too? But God, the beautiful thing is not only did your death and victory over sin win freedom for us in terms of our forgiveness for our sins, but because you endured all of that, you also know what it is to suffer. And therefore, you can empathize with us as we suffer. And so, yeah, Holy Spirit, we pray that as we go through life this week, dealing with different challenges, facing different forms of suffering, Lord, we pray that your presence would be very real to us, that you would be beautifully close, and that you would minister in power to us. God, we thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted, and we thank you that you are more compassionate than anyone in existence. So may we know your compassion, may we know your grace, may we know your kindness this week. And Lord, would you help us as we face suffering this week or in the days and weeks ahead, help us to pause and stop and then think, okay, this has happened, this is what I'm dealing with, what's my response going to be? How am I going to respond? And Lord, would you help us each to respond in faith and still to praise you no matter what. You are so good, Jesus. And give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.